Our reading today is from the book of Matthew, chapter 7, and I'm going to read from verse 24 through to verse 29. A passage that many of us may know well. The words of Jesus. He said, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash." When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, because he taught as one who had authority, not as their teachers of the law. As a church, we've been blessed over the years by Barry's ministry, and particularly his ministry of preaching, where Barry would always finish his sermons with these two questions: what is God saying, and what are you going to do about it? And instead of finishing the sermon with that today, we're going to start with that question: what is God saying, and what are you going to do about it? At the end of this journey, 5 months we've been in the Sermon on the Mount from when we started the Beatitudes back at the start of October. What has God been saying to you through these words of Jesus about what it means to live a kingdom life? But the more important question is, what are you going to do about it? Because that question, the second of those two questions, that's really the key of what Jesus is getting at in this short parable that we know so well. He's simply asking the question, what are you going to do about the words I have just spoken? I mean, can you imagine ending a sermon like this? Can you imagine one of us preaching on a Sunday and at the end of it saying, "You've heard what I've said. If you do it this week, great and well done. You're wise. But if you forget this sermon when you walk out this door in a few minutes' time, then you are foolish." How many of us would be in that category at the end of things? I wonder if you've ever been given a great piece of advice. I get given good advice all the time, but some stand out more than others. I want to tell you three of the bits of advice that I've been given over the years that have been really helpful. One of them is this. Someone said to me when I was 17 years old, and I was doing a summer beach mission down in Pembrokeshire, and someone said to me, "The best thing you can do when you get up in the morning to make sure your body is ready and raring to go is drink a pint of water before any tea, any coffee, any of the things you think will wake you up. Drink a pint of water because that will really wake you up in the morning." Next piece of advice I was given that was really helpful. Someone said to me a number of years ago when I worked at Youth for Christ, "Never make your devotional life the same as your preaching life. Never make your devotional life what you're preaching on a Sunday, because if at any point you're not preaching or you're on holiday or when you retire or whatever it may be, you'll find that you don't have a devotional life. Instead, have a devotional life, build a relationship with God that is separate from what you do in terms of your ministry." And the third bit of advice I want to share, I get pain in my feet, and a physio said to me, "Buy rocker shoes, shoes that have got slightly curved sole on the bottom of them. It redistributes your weight and it'll ease the pain in your foot." Well, I can tell you this morning I started my day with a pint of water. We're preaching from Matthew today. This morning I was reading from the book of Romans. And as I walked here this morning, my feet hurt, because I didn't take all of the advice. You see, advice is only good advice if you put it into practice. People can give you all the best advice in the world, but unless you put it into practice, it makes no difference. What Jesus has been sharing in the Sermon on the Mount is not just good advice. It's the blueprint, the framework for what it means to live life in the kingdom as a follower of Jesus Christ. And every day we're faced with choices based on what we see and hear and know and understand. And we subconsciously have to make a choice as to what we do. Do we take that on board or do we leave it? And at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is saying, all these words that you've heard me say, these things that I've warned you about when it comes to not behaving like a Pharisee, all the things that I've reshaped from your current thinking to show you God's heart behind it, all the values of the kingdom that I've been saying to you about the importance of having a life rooted first and foremost in God, Jesus is asking the question, will you put these words into practice? Will you hear and ignore the words of Jesus? Or will you hear and put into practice the words of Jesus? In many ways, it's a make or break choice, but with eternal consequences. So let's look a little bit more closely at the passage. The start of verse 24 says, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine. Now, it starts with the word therefore, and that means, as we said a few messages ago, that means we have to back up a little bit. You see, Jesus is specifically speaking here about the Sermon on the Mount. Sometimes we use this passage and we talk about it meaning all different bits of the Bible, but Jesus is specifically talking about the lifestyle that he has been talking about here in the Sermon on the Mount. And we know that because the word therefore means it follows on from the words that Jesus has just spoken. And right before this, Jesus has said in verse 21, as Dave unpacked for us last week, so brilliantly, please listen back if you missed it. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. What Jesus had been saying as he began to draw this message, this incredible Sermon on the Mount to a close, what he began to say was, not everyone who thinks they've been doing great things in God's name really knows me. Because it's no longer about following a law and going through the motions. It's no longer about looking righteous. It's no longer about trying to be the best that you can or making sure that everything for show on the outside looks good. Instead, it's about being inner, deeper, rooted in God, and that affects the way that you live your life. It's about living a kingdom life that demonstrates the kingdom of God, God's heart for the world around us, God's heart for those who are around us. It's about showing something of heaven on earth as we pray for the kingdom to come, that we demonstrate the kingdom to which Jesus is the gateway between heaven and earth, that our inner life should far outweigh our outer life. That it's not about going through the motions. You know, we can attend all the services we like. We can do all the church stuff we want. We can say, Lord, Lord, we can perform great miracles in Jesus' name. But unless we hear the words of Jesus and we put them into practice, we risk one of two outcomes. One, Jesus saying, I never knew you. Yeah, you're in the kingdom. You've made a commitment to Jesus. You're in the kingdom. But you've got no relationship with Jesus. He never really knew you. Or the other is that you find that your foundations are not built on the solid rock of Jesus, but on the sinking sand of society. The Sermon on the Mount, what Jesus was teaching was that his disciples were not to look like the rest of the world, whether the religious folk or the wise, but instead that Jesus's followers live a life firmly rooted in God inwardly. And from this, the outer visible life is affected as a result, that our lives would be provocative, that people would see something about our life and think, there's something about them that is different. There's something about them that I want. I want to know what it is that gives them joy and hope in these difficult situations. I want to know what it is that makes them generous in the workplace. I want to know what it is that causes them to get on with that person that everybody else hates. What is it that's about them that people may see something of the kingdom reflected in us? Let's take a look at it again. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who builds his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. Dave highlighted to us last week and a couple of weeks back how through the latter half of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus has been using pairs, kind of the power of two. He's been using two things, two gates, two kinds of treasure, two kinds of disciple, two kinds of prophet. And all of them were opposites. And again here, Jesus uses two, a wise builder and a foolish builder. And we often look at these as opposites. But in fact, in this parable, the two that Jesus are using are not opposites. They're the same. Let's look. Firstly, the first thing we see the same is this, that both of these builders are affected by the wind and the floods and the rain. Jesus doesn't say that the wise person who hears his words and puts them into practice builds their life upon a rock, and it'll always be sunny with clear, still waters and pina coladas and wall-to-wall sunshine. And the foolish one who doesn't hear his words will live in rainy, grey England in the spring. That's not what Jesus says. Both of these builders, they both face the weathering of life. All of us will face the storms of life at some point. All of us will feel the floodwaters rise. All of us will feel the wind and the rain battering against us. The difference is where we're rooted. When the wind and the waves come, when challenges come, Jesus says in this life we will face troubles. The difference as to whether we get through them is whether we're building our life on the foundation of Jesus or on something different. So the first reason these two people are both the same is this: they're affected by the same situation. Secondly, they both hear the words of Jesus. Verse 24 says, "Everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man." Verse 26, "Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man." So today, although there's another two, we're not looking at two opposites here. Today, we're looking at people in the same boat. Both hear the words of Jesus. Both face the weather. The challenge is whether they put into practice the words of Jesus or not. This is all about that question: what are you going to do about it? Just being in the crowd on that mountainside that day didn't guarantee salvation. Just hearing these words of Jesus or reading them for ourselves doesn't guarantee us salvation in Jesus any more than saying, "Lord, Lord," or even performing great wonders in Jesus's name, unless we actually put the words of Jesus into practice, unless we truly, really know him. Being in church, online or in person, hearing the Bible every week no more makes you a Christian than being in the chippy makes you a chip. Instead, it's hearing the words of Jesus, putting them into practice, really having him as both Lord of your life as well as Savior in your life. So this isn't a parable to distinguish between the saved and the lost, the wise and the foolish. This is a parable to distinguish between those who hear the words and put them into practice and those who hear the words and don't put them into practice. It's a parable about the saved who hear and accept the words of Jesus and act upon them, and the saved who hear the words of Jesus but do nothing about them. So I want to ask us today, at the end of this five-month journey with a little gap for Christmas, based on the Sermon on the Mount, what we've seen Jesus teaching through the Beatitudes and these few chapters in Matthew's Gospel, what is God saying to you? What has God highlighted about your life that maybe needs to be different? What have you seen in a new light through the words of Jesus from the Sermon on the Mount that has caused you to do something different in your life? Are you worrying less? Are you praying more privately? Have you taken some time to fast, maybe? Have you been more kind to people, even those who aren't kind back to you? Are you actively trying to be salt and light in the things that you do and say in your community? Have you heard the words of Jesus and are you putting them into practice? In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 and 2, the Apostle Paul writes, "Now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel, you are saved if you hold firmly to the word I preach to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain." We know chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians well. Paul is reminding the Corinthian church of the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the significance of the fact that Jesus is alive, and it's through him that we are saved, and him alone. But Paul is saying to them, "You've heard the words that I've said to you. You've heard about the gospel of Jesus. You've accepted the gospel of Jesus in your life. But if you've not done anything since then, you believe in vain. Yes, you might be in the kingdom. Yes, you're in. You believe in Jesus. He's your savior. But have you put the words of Jesus into practice in your life? Is following Jesus making a difference? Are you living a heavenly life here on the earth? Will you hear and ignore the words of Jesus and believe in vain? or do you hear and put into practice the words of Jesus and receive life and love? 1 John 2 verse 5 says, but if anyone obeys his word, love for God is truly made complete in them. So are you a wise builder? Are you building your life on the solid rock of Jesus? Have you heard his words in the Sermon on the Mount? Are there things in here that you're now viewing your life through the lens of this sermon, and you're trying to live your life differently as a result? Jesus also talks about those who hear his words, but don't do anything with them. And he describes them as a foolish builder, building their lives on the sand. When the wind and the rain and the floods come, the house crashes. I want to offer us two different perspectives on this morning. Because I think that when we read this, we see it as like an instant thing. I think we visualize a house built on the rock and the rain coming and the wind coming and the builder in the house is like, hey, all is good. But then we see kind of someone building a house on the beach, and all of a sudden the wind comes and like in a moment, it's like the house is blown away. But what if it's not as instant as that? Two perspectives for us. The first is this. It's perfectly possible to build your life on the wrong type of rock. It's perfectly possible to build your life on the wrong type of rock. We grew up on the Wirral, and the Wirral is kind of, a lot of it is sandstone, particularly kind of on the west side of the Wirral, loads of it is sandstone. And sandstone, of course, is a rock, but it's not the hardest rock. In fact, sandstone's quite a brittle rock. It's a porous rock. It seems solid, but when the weather comes, over time, it wears through or it wears down. The thing with sandstone as opposed to a more solid rock is it's more porous. And that means that when the rain is battering against it, the rain can get into it and weaken it from the inside. It means when it is freezing, that the moisture inside it will freeze and expand. And when it melts again, it can leave cracks in the rock. It means the wind can erode bits of sand from the edge of it, and eventually it will break. So the first perspective I want to offer is this, that it may seem like you're building your life on a solid rock, but really you're building your life on something that's a bit more like sandstone. It's weak and it's porous. It seems solid, but when the weathering of life comes, it erodes away. What might the sandstone be that we might build upon? Maybe it's culture. Maybe it's trying to fit in with everything that the world looks like right now. Maybe it's money. Maybe it's relationships and your idea of a perfect relationship. Maybe it's a career and trying to climb the career ladder. Maybe it's your identity. Maybe it's your job title. Maybe it's the fact that you're an auntie or a sister or a grandparent or whatever it might be. Maybe it's having a nice house. Even maybe it's what you do in church life. Are you building your life on something that seems solid, but in actual fact, when the wind and waves come, it begins to slowly erode it? You might not see it instantly happen, but at some point that is going to crumble. Because one day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father, as it says in Philippians 2. And if our life is built on anything that isn't Jesus, at some point that will erode and crack and crumble. So have you been building your life on something which feels solid, but in actual fact, things change? Maybe this year has highlighted that. In this year of lockdown, when we've had certain things that we just took for granted taken away, maybe you've realized that you've been building your life on something that wasn't quite as solid as you thought it was. Are you building your life on Jesus Christ, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever? So the first perspective is, it's perfectly possible to build your life on the wrong kind of rock, something that feels solid, but in actual fact, other circumstances, external circumstances, the metaphorical wind, rains, and floods can begin to erode it away. And at some point, when you're not expecting it, it will crumble. Secondly is this. Some ground looks okay, but really it's sinking sand. Some ground looks okay, but really it's sinking sand. If you can cast your mind back to when we were able to hang out with people, there was a time when we as a family met up with Becky's brother and our sister-in-law and their children, and we'd gone down to Crosby for the afternoon, and we were down kind of on the seafront, and the older of the girls, they wanted to go down to the sea, and we kind of stayed sat on the sand. And we were watching the girls as they were kind of zigzagging across the beach, kind of taking their time, playing together, eventually getting down to the sea. And Becky's brother says, I'm going to go down to the sea and just keep an eye on them, check they're all okay. And so he gets up and he starts to go. And we were saying, watch where the girls went, because it's quite wet in the middle of the sand there. And he was like, no, I'll be fine. And so he just runs straight from where we're sitting, straight toward the sea in Crosby. Most of you will have been there, so you know exactly what it's like. So he starts running and we can see him running. And then he gets to a puddle and we can see him go into the water. And he's still running. And then all of a sudden, we see that his steps start to become really slow and labored and heavy as he runs through kind of that wet, muddy patch in the middle of Crosby Beach. And when they all came back to us, the girls had like maybe slightly wet feet. But Becky's brother was like, he had mud almost up to his knees. And he said, I can see why they went the long way round now. Crosby Beach has got kind of patches of mud and sinking sand, isn't it? Sinking sand isn't just a weak foundation to build upon. Sinking sand can completely engulf you. More than that, it can kill you. Ask anyone who's involved with the lifeboats anywhere around the coastline here or the Wirral or anywhere like that. Sinking sand can kill you. If you get caught in sinking sand, the more you try to get out of it, the more stuck you become. If the tide's coming in, you're in trouble. Sinking sand isn't just a weak foundation. It can engulf you and can kill you. Are we building our life on sinking sand? Are we stuck in culture? Are we stuck trying to being swayed by the next big thing? Are we stuck in a desire for self-gratification, for our own ways of doing things? Sinking sand isn't just a weak foundation. Sinking sand can completely engulf us and kill us. The more we struggle to get out, the more we're stuck. Have you built your life on something and it seemed like it was solid, but now it's not only crumbled beneath you, but it's turned out that in fact it is sinking sand. And the more you've tried to get out of it, the more you are stuck in it. Maybe it's habits, maybe it's addictions, maybe it's desire, temptation, spending, the career ladder, success, whatever it may be. And it's like you've been trying to feed this thing, but it just doesn't satisfy. You feel like you're stuck in a situation, a mindset, whatever it may be, and you can't get out of it. If that's you today, you are never too far gone for God to reach down and lift you and save you. Psalm 40. Verse 2 says, he lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. Are you building your life on the solid rock of Jesus Christ? Or are you building your life on something that seems like a solid rock, but in fact, it's beginning to weather and crumble? Or even worse, have you built your life on something that's turned out to be sinking sand? And in fact, it's engulfing you and it's hard to get out of. Jesus lifts us and places us upon a rock. Jesus is building his church upon the rock, and the gates of Hades will not prevail. If you're in the sinking sand today, God can and God will rescue you and place your feet upon a rock. If you're building your life on the porous, eroding, sandy rock today, God can lift you and place you upon the rock. What we need to do is hear the words of Jesus and choose to put them into practice. So what are you building your life on? Because in life, the storms will come, is what Jesus says in this parable. Are you building your life on the solid rock of Christ? Or are you building your life on the porous rock? It's with Christ, but it's without Christ at the center. Or are you building your life on the sinking sand of society or culture? And it's so different to what you may see and know in the church, but for some reason you are just stuck within it. The short parable of Jesus at the end of the Sermon on the Mount was not to distinguish the saved and the lost as wise and foolish. It's a warning to all of us who hear the words of Jesus, who know the words of Jesus. It's a warning to say, are you putting these into practice? We've spent these last 5 months walking slowly through the Beatitudes and the Sermon on the Mount, the teaching of Jesus about what it means to be a kingdom people. And we're all faced with a choice. What are we going to do in light of these words that we've heard Jesus say? We've been in lockdown for a year. We've had all our church activities stopped. Maybe now is a good time to stop and reflect. And we must ask, are we in the category of those who would say, Lord, Lord, you know, I've done loads of stuff in your church, Lord. But in reality, we've made our faith about the stuff we do rather than who we worship. were on that sandy rock that might erode. Or when everything's been stripped away, we feel completely lost and we realize that what we've built our life on is actually more like sinking sand than solid rock. Maybe we're in that category of the crowd who hear the words of Jesus. They heard the words of Jesus on the mountainside, but when he'd moved on, did they go back to just their old ordinary life? Do we hear the words of Jesus, but on a Monday morning, we live as if we didn't? Or are we daily seeking the Lord, building our life upon the rock of Jesus Christ, reading his word, hearing his word, asking God to show us through his eyes what he's calling us and asking us to do? And are we putting the words of Jesus into practice in our lives today? Are you building your life on the solid rock, or are you on the sinking sand today? Before we sing, let's take a moment to pray. Let's take a moment to be quiet and just ask God to just maybe to raise something to the forefront of our mind today that he wants to say to us. Lord, show us how we've been building our lives. Lord, remind us through this incredible sermon of your son, Jesus, what you want us to do differently in our lives. Lord, we recognize that every one of us, Lord, all of us, we need more of you in our lives. And so, Lord, we ask you to show us. Show us what we need to do in light of your words in order to continue to be firmly rooted on you, the solid rock, Lord Jesus. Lord, grant us that we might be wise builders who hear your words and put them into practice daily. On the days when it's tough, grant us courage and strength, for we recognize that when we are weak, you are strong. Lord, we offer our lives to you again. We place ourselves on the solid rock of Jesus. And Lord, I pray today for those who found themselves in a sinking sand place where it feels like circumstances have engulfed them and it's hard to see the light at the end. May they know that you are the light, Lord Jesus. And as that verse in Psalm 40, verse 2 says, that you will lift us from the mud and mire and set our feet upon a rock. Lord, would you lift them and place them on solid ground? Thank you for your wonderful words, Lord Jesus. Thank you for the honor and privilege of being able to read your word. Lord, grant that we will continue to build our lives on you, the solid rock. In Jesus' name, amen.